वेद भक्त बिंद की जाए, ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाए, ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्रसाद डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाए, हरे राम संकेतन की जाए, इस्कॉन युद्धागदाम की जाए, निताय गौण प्रमनंदी हरिवो हरिवो ओ क्रोरिस्ट डिसेंबरी बुरीस हरे कृष्ण ओ क्रोरिस्ट डिसेंबरी बुरीस हरे कृष्ण ओ क्रोरिस्ट डिसेंबरी बुरीस हरे कृष्ण ओ क्रोरिस्ट श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया नारायण नमस्कृत्य नारायण चैव नरोत्तमाम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् तत्त्वज्ञानम् उदितायेत् नास्तिप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवता सेवया भगवदि उत्तमश्लोके Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 7, text number 27 and 28. Text number 27 has no purport. So I just read, you know, text number 27 myself, and we can chant text number 28 together. Chiyamanasa devanam sari shri papata chinam ve avadana saga sam vyuham ga gaba sveda dijobidam. Translation. Also, please describe the living beings under different classification. Subhumans, humans, those form of the embryo, those form of perspiration, those who are twice form, birds, and the plants and vegetables. Kindly describe their generations and subdivisions also. So text number 28, let's do it together, huh? Kuna avatarai. Vishvasya, Saga, Stiti, Apyayashrayam, Shri Jata, Srinivasasya, Vyachakshvodara, Vikramam, Gunavatarai Vishvasya Sakastitya Pyayashrayam Shijata Srinivasasya Vyachakshodara Vikramam Gunavatarai Vishvasya Sagastitya Pyayashrayam Shijata Srinivasasya Vyachakshadara Vikramam Gunavatarai Vishvasya Sagastitya Pyayashrayam Shichata Srinivasasya Vyachakshotara Vikramam. Gunavatara Vishvasya Savanya Kyanya Shana Jatapri Vasya Vyakshashodhara Vikramam Gunavatara Vishvasya Sagastitya Pyayashayam Shichata Shinivasyasya Vyachakshodara Vikramam Gunavatara Vishvasya Sagastitya Pyayashayam Maharaj, guna, modes of material nature, avatarai, of the incarnations, vishvasya, of the universe, saga, creation, stiti, maintenance, apyaya, destruction, ashrayam, and ultimate rest, shichata, of the one who creates, shrinivasasya, of the personality of Godhead, Vachakshva, kindly describe. Uttara, magnanimous. Vikramam, specific activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Please also describe the incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. Maheshwara. And please describe the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His magnanimous activities. Purport. Although Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, the three incarnations of the material modes of nature, are the principal deities for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestation, they are not the final authority. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the ultimate goal, the cause of all causes. He is the ashraya, or the final rest of everything. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Uminitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gunave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtan Stapidan Yena Buddhare Svayanupa Kadamahyan Tadati Svampadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamanam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrachatam Sahagana Nakunata Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishavano Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakaupa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatra Shri Vasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Guna Vatharai Vishvasya Sagastiti Apyayashayam Shichata Srinivasasya Vyachakshodana Vikramam. Translation again. Please also describe the incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara. And please describe the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His magnanimous activities. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he said that Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, they are the three incarnations of the material modes of nature. So it reminds me the story about them in the Krishna book. So in Krishna book chapter 89, there's a really nice story about Lord Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. It is said here, long, long ago, there was an assembly of great sages on the bank of the river Saraswati, who performed a great sacrifice of the name Satya. So in such assemblies, the great sages present usually discuss worthy subject matters, philosophical topics, and in this particular meeting, the following question was raised. So the sage's question was, the three predominating deities of this material world, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, are directing all the affairs of this cosmos. But who among them is the supreme? So the sages gathered there, they want to find, you know, who is the supreme? If it's Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or Lord Shiva. So after much discussions on this question, the great sage named Bhrigu, the son of Lord Brahma, was deputed to test all three predominating deities and report to the assembly as to who is the greatest. So, being thus deputed, the great sage Bhrigu Muni, first of all, so he went to his father's residence in Brahmaloka. So we all know that, you know, the topmost planet in this universe is Brahmaloka. So the creator of this universe, Lord Brahma, he is residing there. So Bhrigu Muni went there. Prabhupada said here, the three deities are the controllers of the three material qualities, namely the quality of goodness, passion, and ignorance. The plan decided upon by the sages was for Bhrigu to test which one of the predominant deity possesses the quality of goodness in full. Therefore, when Bhrigu Muni reached his father, Lord Brahma, because Bhrigu Muni wanted to test whether Brahma had the quality of goodness, he purposely did not offer his respects to his father, either by offering obeisances or by offering prayers. See, according to Vedic culture, it is the duty of a son of a disciple or a disciple to offer respects and recite suitable prayers when he approached his father or the spiritual master. But in this case, because Bhrigu Muni wants to test his father, so he purposely didn't offer either obeisances or offering prayers. And then, because Bhrigu Muni purposely failed to offer respects just to see Lord Brahma's reaction to this negligence, Lord Brahma was very angry at his son's impudence. And he showed sign which definitely proved this to be so. He was even prepared to condemn Bhrigu Muni by cursing him. But because Bhrigu Muni was his son, Lord Brahma controlled his anger with his great intelligence. So this means that although the quality of passion was prominent in Lord Brahma, he had the power to control it. Nah. Lord Brahma's anger and his controlling his anger are likened to fire and water. Water is produced from fire at the beginning of creation, but fire can be extinguished with water. Similarly, although Lord Brahma was very angry due to his quality of passion, he could still control his passion because Bhrigu Muni was his son. Probably here he gave an analogy of the fire and water. Yeah. So after testing Lord Brahma, Bhrigu Muni went directly to the Mount Kailash, where Lord Shiva resides. Bhrigu Muni happened to be Lord Shiva's brother. Therefore, as soon as Bhrigu Muni approached, Lord Shiva was very glad and personally rose to embrace him. But when Lord Shiva approached, Bhrigu Muni refused to embrace him. And Bhrigu Muni said, "My dear brother, you are always impure because you smear your body with ashes. You are not very clean. Please do not touch me." Yeah. So when Bhrigu Muni refused to embrace his brother, saying that Lord Shiva was impure, the latter became very angry with him. It is said that an offense can be committed either with the body, with the mind, or by speech. Bhrigu Muni's first offense committed toward Lord Brahma was an offense with the mind. His second offense committed toward Lord Shiva by insulting him, criticizing him for unclean habits, was an offense by speech. So he committed two by the time now. Yeah. Because the quality of ignorance is prominent in Lord Shiva, when he heard Bhrigu Muni's insult, his eyes immediately became red with anger. So that's, Lord Shiva's reaction. Lord Shiva became immediately angry. With uncontrollable rage, he took up his trident and prepared to kill Bhrigu Muni. Yet, up to the point, that Lord Shiva, you want to kill his, you know, brother, Bhikkhu Muni. At that time, Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati, was present. Her personality, like Lord Shiva's, is a mixture of the three qualities. And therefore, she is called Trigunamayi. In this case, she saved the situation by invoking Lord Shiva's quality of goodness. So Lord Shiva's wife, Parvati, so she fell down at the feet of her husband, and with her sweet words, she talked him out of killing Bhikkhu Muni. So Lord Shiva's wife convinced Lord Shiva not to kill Bhikkhu Muni. And then Bhikkhu Muni, he continued his travel to the planet called Svetadvip, where Lord Vishnu was lying on a bed of flower in the company of his wife, the goddess of fortune. So at that time, the goddess of fortune was actually engaged in massaging Vishnu's lotus feet. And without saying anything, you know, upon reaching the Bhikkhu Muni, he purposely committed the greatest sin by offending Lord Vishnu by his bodily activities. What his offense? He kicked Lord Vishnu's chest with his feet. So that is actually the greatest sin, Prabhupada said here. Yeah. The first offense committed by Bhikkhu Muni was mental, the second offense was vocal, and the third offense was corporal. Corporeal. These different offenses are progressively greater in degree. An offense committed within the mind is a positive offense. The same offense committed verbally is comparatively more grave. And when committed by bodily action or superlative in offenses, it is superlative in offenses. So Bhikkhu Muni committed the greatest offense by kicking the chest of the Lord in the presence of the goddess of fortune. So at this point, what is the reaction of Lord Vishnu? Lord Vishnu didn't get angry. Yeah, he didn't even, like Lord Shiva, want to kill Bhikkhu Muni right away. No, he didn't. At this point, Lord Vishnu actually in very sweet words to Bhikkhu Muni by saying, "My dear Brahmana, it is my greatest fortune that you have come here. Please, therefore, sit down on this cushion for a few minutes. My dear Brahmana, I am very sorry that when you first entered my home, I could not receive you properly." You see, this is actually, Lord Vishnu is very, taking a very humble position. It actually reminds me, in the ancient times, you know, in China, whenever a great personality come and visit you at home, you know, you should immediately get up and go and greet this great personality. And if you fail to do that, that is not very nice. It's considered not very respectful. You know, here Lord Vishnu, he's really taking a very humble position. He said, you know, "I'm so sorry, you know, I didn't notice that you are coming. Otherwise, I will go and greet you. Yeah. So Lord Vishnu, he said here, I'm very sorry that when you first entered my home, I could not receive you properly. It was a great offense on my part, and I beg you to pardon me. You are so pure and great that the water which washes your feet can purify even the place of pilgrimage. Therefore, I request you to purify the Vaikuntha Planet where I live with my associates. My dear Father, O great sage, I know that your feet are very soft, like a lotus flower, and that my chest is as hard as a thunderbolt. I am therefore afraid that you may have felt some pain by kicking my chest. You see? Let me touch your feet to relieve the pain you have suffered. So after speaking this, Lord Vishnu start to massage the Lord at the feet of Bhrigumuni. You see? Lord Vishnu is really taking a very humble position. And then Lord Vishnu, he continued to address Bhrigumuni, saying, my dear Lord, he said, my chest has now become sanctified because of the touch of your feet. And I'm now assured that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, will be very glad to live there perpetually. Yeah. And Prabhupada started to explain the nature of goddess of fortune, saying, another name for Lakshmi is Chanchana, indicating that she does not stay in one place for a long time. Therefore, we see that a rich man's family sometimes becomes poor after a few generations. And sometimes we see that a poor man's family becomes very rich. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is Chanchana in this material world. Whereas in the Vaikuntha planet, she eternally lives at the lotus feet of the Lord. Because Lakshmi is famous as Chanchana, Lord Narayan indicated that she might not have been living perpetually by his chest, but because his chest has been touched by the feet of Bhrigumuni, it was now sanctified, and there was no chance that goddess of fortune would leave. Bhrigumuni, however, could understand his position and that of the Lord, and he was struck with wonder at the behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of his gratitude, his words choked up, and he was unable to reply the words of the Lord. Tears glided from his eyes, and he could not say anything. He simply stood silently before the Lord. So Bhrigumuni understand within the heart that actually Lord Vishnu is the topmost, you know. So after testing Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, Bhrigumuni returned to the assembly of great sages on the bank of the river Saraswati and described his experience. After hearing him with great attention, the sages concluded that of all the predominating deities, Lord Vishnu is certainly the greatest. So that's why, you know, Prabhupada, he said here that Lord Brahma in charge of creating, Lord Vishnu in charge of maintenance. To maintain something, you have to have, you know, goodness. And Lord Shiva, you know, is in charge of destruction of this material world. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he also said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the ultimate goal, the cause of all causes. It also reminds me in a purport in the Bhagavad Gita, where Srila Prabhupada tells, describe, you know, about this point. Prabhupada, he said here in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 2, in the purport, Prabhupada, he said here, the Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasade. The Supreme Personality, who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached. But no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc. entirely. Only Krishna can claim this because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayan, can possess his opulences as full as Krishna. Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or above him. He is the primeval Lord or Bhagavan, known as Govinda. He is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachi Ananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sava Karana Karanam. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. So I just stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Maharaj. Microphone, please. Can we get the microphone for Maharaj?
I just want to be sure that I'm clearly understanding the main point that you made about who of the three divinities is, what was it, the most advanced. So am I right in understanding you when you said that Lord Vishnu is the most advanced, and that was because when Bhrigu Muni came in to his apartment, into his bedroom, he was lying with Lakshmi Devi. He didn't offer the proper respect, the proper honor, the proper glorification. He just walked right over to him, kicked him in the chest.
Yes.
Which is not the proper behavior.
Right.
So, Lord Vishnu, instead of getting upset, disturbed, angry, shaken, and ready to fight and pound him on the head, he thanked him. Thinking that, after all, who is it?
Bhrigu Muni.
Bhrigu Muni was a great sage, and he has just gotten kicked on the chest by a great sage. And he completely ignored the fact that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He took a position that he was lower, that he was just nothing, that rather he had received a blessing from Bhrigu Muni by getting kicked in the chest, and therefore In other words, he was taking a position of an ordinary person as opposed to being the supreme personality of Godhead. And that's why Vishnu was proclaimed as to be the most advanced, because nothing upset him, nothing disturbed him, nothing shook him, and rather he considered that anything that would hurt him was a blessing. So is that what we have to learn from this? Right. That we should not get upset, we should not get disturbed, we should not get shaken. Rather, we should understand that the Supreme Lord is creating or causing these things to take place so that we will become more and more impervious or to all these different shocks and kicks of the material world. In other words, those things should not upset us. Rather, we should think of them as blessings from the Supreme Lord. That's what I get. Is that what?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, Maharaj. That's a really good point.
I wasn't sure I got it.
Yeah. It also reminds me a verse from Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastaka prayer. Tinadapi sunichena talo api saishnuna. Amanina manadena ketaniya sadahari. So that, you know, one should, you know, be humble, you know, than the blade of grass, thinking one is lower than the blade of grass on the street. And one should be tolerant, you know, like the trees. So, and one should not expect to be honored by anyone. And in that condition, state of mind, then we can chant the Hare Krishna mantra nicely. We can, you know, continue the service to Krishna very nicely.
Okay.
It reminds me of that. Thank you, Maharaj.
No, thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, so we will stop here. Thank you, Maharaj, for coming. Gantraj Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai.
God, which you said so many sweet words to the very saved people.